Good evening, Patriots. What another amazing day. A day that we got to witness more of the clown show. And we didn't even have to pay for front row seats. It's all right here. All yours to have, free. You know, I read something earlier tonight. And it was on one of the YouTube videos. And it was a headline. Said something like this. Don't say Trump didn't warn you. Biden unveils his climate change agenda or something like this. And I really had to sit back for a minute and ask myself what the true nature of comments like that are. And they're selfish, in my opinion, and they're whiny. And they're intended to point blame because people don't want to accept where things are. When we look back on November 3rd, there wasn't anything any of us could have done any differently than what we did. We executed perfectly. We came out in mass. We voted in mass. And in the process, we did something else that was profound. We voted so well, we turned out in such a big mass of people that we forced the deep state to completely expose itself and expose its hand. We don't have anything to hold our head down for. We don't have any of this nasty little snide comments like Trump warned you. We knew what was coming. We weren't ignorant to that. And so comments like that get under my skin a bit because they come from conservatives as if they're so righteous and so pious in their ways that somehow they can proclaim that there would have been a better way. There was no other way than what we've done, and there is no other path than what we currently walk. And this is the part that I think if we could own this truly, what it means, and we're going to talk about this, it's a profound walk. None of us, except perhaps an elite few that really knew the real game, none of us realized how deeply corrupted the system was in the vote. Neither did we understand how deeply corrupted our medical system was. We never imagined that a voting system was so deeply corrupted that every single voting station in one way or another was being rigged. And the realization that I still argue that most have not come to grips with yet, even most awake patriots, is that it isn't just rigged now. It has been rigged for so long that we have been living a lie, one of the biggest lies ever, thinking that we had the power of the vote. We never have. In our lifetimes, anyway. And with that comes the deceit of the medical community. Consider your family physician who's now pushing for a vax, or a doctor you've known that's pushing to people get vaccinated. There's a doctor in my county. He's the county, whatever they refer to him as. He's the medical examiner or something from the county. And he's out pushing the vaccination. This guy knows better. Okay, but he's doing this because somewhere along the way, either his license has been threatened or he's got some kickback from the drug companies, or his retirement vacations are being threatened to be yanked away because he's going to speak out against the conventions of the community, or he's swallowed their blue pill so deeply that he doesn't want to look out and use his training to think beyond the limits. And yet he's pushing and encouraging people to get an injection. That's deceit, and it's sedition at the lightest level. At the minimum, it's sedition. And it's really approaching crimes against humanity for anybody that's pushing this. But the whole point of this is that they've walked a path of deceit and they've made a choice, and that is what they are, but we have nothing to hold our head down for. They can't change this the corrupted institution. We're having to live through it for us to see it. And for those that were asleep to awaken, for people to leave that slumber and to walk over and to embrace another pathway. But what are they embracing? This is what's real critical. Are they embracing President Trump? He's not around much lately. And I'm glad he's not. I love our president. And he is our president. I love our president. But he's not around much. And I'm glad he isn't, because it's giving all of us an opportunity to look around at the leadership that is present and not put our lean on to him to solve our problems. We have to face the fact that we have to solve our problems. And personally, I think President Trump is being quiet for that very reason, to force us into the light, to force us to stand up, and to force us to make a decision of what type of country we want. And it's a brilliant move, because we know how much we love what he did. We know how much we love that man and what he's sacrificed for us. Never took a dime as a president. Gave his money to another agency or another group every time. There was nothing financially to gain from the office. People, the media will try to suggest to you that he was trying to gain this or that. He had nothing to gain. He had everything to lose. He had 4 years of the greatest hell from these wicked people. They're not even people, entities. And they don't really have anything to talk about now, because they've got a living mattress that talks like he's got a gag in his mouth, because he does. And that's who they have as a symbolic president, which we know is all fake anyway, including his aircraft, which are all paid for and hired by the trillions of dollars that are backing him. So we're living through a coup, and it's important that we live through a coup, because we have to make a decision on where we want to go. But the question really, and I come back to where I said a few minutes ago, is where are the people that are leaving and waking up going to? What are they? What is the path that they're following? Because it's not President Trump, and it sure as heck isn't the Republican Party, because that's a dismal disaster. It's just a living train wreck. It is as bad as the Democrats. In fact, I would argue that the Republicans are the silent force behind the Democrats, knowing damn well that they needed somebody like the Democrats to run their mouth and spew the lies, and all they had to do was just concede, and draw the country over to this Marxist globalist agenda. So the Republicans are probably more evil in their way than the Democrats. So we have a bankrupt Democrat Party, a morally bankrupt, which is a train wreck. We have an emotionally bankrupt Democrat Party, which is another train wreck. So what is it that people are coming over to find? And I'm going to answer that. They're coming over to find an amazing group of patriots, us, as a community, that are standing strong and walking this as a spiritual walk with God and love of country. And if we continue to live like this and live boldly like this, the world is ours to own and to take back. Don't kid yourself. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning with 1 and going down to 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love. And it's, we talk about this so much, and it is such a fundamental core to everything that we are and we have to do. It's profound. And it comes in so many forms. The selfless giving. It is the extending to our neighbors and treating them with respect and dignity and grace. I don't care how they treat you. It's us that lead this fight in the way we are shaping the world, because at some point that neighbor is likely to leave the matrix if they're in it. And the act of kindness is one of the greatest chisels at their footing and foundation. Let them treat you as a snot that they can be. And I say that because you know how this can be. There's a lot of nastiness going on right now. But don't take it on. Walk with grace. Be gracious. Don't give in, but just don't try to pick a fight. Extend a hand of love and grace. Because without it, we are literally nothing. And you can see it. All you have to do is look across to the many empty souls that are walking around this world. And I say across, I see this world increasingly in a division. It's a divide. And we have to put our priorities where our priorities need to be. Every one of us is concerned about, in one way or another, we're concerned about bills. We have bills to pay. We have concerns about money and finances. We can't completely detach from that space, but we can make a decision on where it prioritizes in our life. If I've made a decision that every single day, no matter how I live, I'm going to walk with grace, I'm going to treat everything in my life with grace and love, I will assure you of something amazing. God will take care of you, and there will be no worries. There are many people out here making the choice to get the injection. We know that. But it isn't for us to judge their decision. We can guide them. They make the decision. Now it's our place to extend love and grace. Because at the end of the day, we know something that they may not realize yet, but we definitely get it. God can heal them. We may not be able to. Matter of fact, our science says we can't heal them, but God can. And the last thing that we want to be is that excuse for them not to have come to accept God because we were snide, snarky, vicious. Doesn't mean don't be firm and hold the line, but show them the strength of what love is. It also doesn't mean grovel, because love isn't about groveling. Christ demonstrated the ultimate level of love and compassion. He never gave in. And that is how we need to walk. I'm going to continue with 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at 13:4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Our problem is that when we talk about love, we always think of corporal love. So we start thinking about boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife, jealousies, hurt feelings, those momentary blisses of the heart when you're given that special box of handmade chocolate chip, peanut butter, bacon dipped cookies or whatever your favorite is. I'm just making it up, sorry. I had to throw the bacon in there. Can't be a beet ad without some bacon. But that's those are the sorts of things that corporal love is. Corporal love is the envy you have when of something over something else. But agape love is not like that. Love is the respect. It's like it says, it's this very level feeling. It's the beauty of embracing all that God presents. And it's the beauty of embracing people as they are. We've heard this saying, the glass half empty, glass half full, but we always forget that middle, that third element. And it's the glass simply is. When we live in the moment of just accepting something as it is and quit trying to see it as half empty or half full, we stop our judgment. And we simply are in the moment and we're living with God and we're accepting what comes at us. And when you're in that very firm place and you're living there, what is there to worry about? God will give you all the answers you need. We've been conditioned over our life to react to things emotionally, what our founding fathers referred to as passion, and to manipulate that passion, which is our emotions, to such a degree that we stop being the beautiful people that we are, and we start to be the reactive people that we are capable of being, which is ugly. And it creeps in all of our levels. Our relationships in this country, and I'm focusing on this country, but it's basically a global problem, but in particular in this country, relationships are a living bankruptcy. When we live in emotions, you get into this, you can even take, as we see, we get the emotions of the passion of somebody saying, which is the emotion of somebody saying, I must abort a child because I didn't want the child and I won't be raised right and I will be a burden on my life. When you're sitting in that world of love, it's a very simple thing. God gave you a gift of life. Now nurture it no matter where you are, because no life is ever ready to come in. No one's ever ready to receive that life and that gift, but when it's given, embrace it. That's love. We have to find that place. I'm going to continue. 1 Corinthians 13 and continuing at 13:8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. It's a challenge for us all to embrace the true meaning of what Scripture speaks of in love. To not fall into the pit of love being corporal love or emotional love, jealous love, resentful love, and not separate love as something else that isn't part of faith and isn't part of knowledge. Love is all things. And it's a compassion. And it's a caring. And it's an enduring piece of who we are. Love is also not idle. You can't love something and sit by and watch it be abused. You can't love something and watch it be stolen. You can't love something and watch it be ignored. Love is nurturing. And right now, our nation can't be ignored. And it needs nurturing. And there are so many people out here that need both. At the center of that, when we walk with love, we are creating the place that people that are walking away from this hemorrhaging abomination of a government, when they're walking away, where are they going? They should be arriving to a place of love, of acceptance, of encouragement, a place where the heart feels that it's got opportunity, a place where the heart feels it has unlimited potential, a place where a person can arrive and feel that a lot of that ugliness, that clingy goo, it's like a black tar that's ever all on us when we walk away from that mess. It's a place where you can get cleansed and cleaned. It's a place where you feel that you can finally take a shower after your whole life of wallowing in the mud. Ever wondered what a child, a young adult, teenager that has been living on the street, living in the same clothes, smelling like urine, smelling like sweat. Ever imagine what it would be like to take a shower for the first time in, say, a month or 2 weeks, to put on clean clothes? To be able to wash their hair and comb it, to brush their teeth, to cut their nails, to smell clean sheets. When you experience that and you understand that, that's what we're trying to create as a receiving point. For the many that have lived on that other side, it's dirty, it's angry, it's hostile, it's ugly. But when you're in the midst of it, you can't see past its walls. But when you leave it, you're looking for something. And you're looking for hope. You're looking for difference. You're looking for a new path. God put us here for a very particular reason. And the more that I have looked at this, and the more that we've endured this, it just seems to me that we're on this place here to truly live His laws and to live that foundation of love. Not for ourselves and not to appease Him. He doesn't need appeasing. He's laid out the law. That's how we are to live. And we're not going to be doing anything for ourselves other than giving ourselves a little back pat once in a while to go, yoo-hoo, we did it. That's not what this is about. That's self-love. What we're here to do is to shape the direction of the world. What we're here to do is to formulate an island that becomes a stronghold, that becomes a new nation. That when people walk away and they come and they are received, we're not dumping a fire hose down their throat to tell them how to think, what they did wrong. We're just accepting them with grace. Because once they settle in and they have that opportunity to get their bearings, to take a shower, to get on some clean clothes, to snuggle into some clean sheets, to have a good night's rest or two, to let the mind settle, then it's time. When they're ready, it's time that they'll begin asking questions. And as they ask questions, we should be there as the guide, the gracious guide, as Christ was. We should know the parables. We should know the scriptures. We should know our Constitution and our founding documents and what was intended. but like a starving person, or a person, I should say, that's gone without food or even water, you don't feed them a five-course banquet to start. You have to feed them a little bit. Otherwise, truly, if you take a person who's gone without food, that's been starved for, say, months, and you feed them too much, they'll die. It's too much for their system to process. Their bodies have acclimated to having no food and to digesting their own body as food. You have to slowly introduce food. There's no difference than what we are dealing with right now. Those that are walking blindly into this place of the injection, they're still American. They're still God's children. And as frustrating as it is for us, it is still our place to guide them. It's our place to create that space for them to come to, and we need to make it as grand as we possibly can. Imagine a place of leaving a desert, or better yet, imagine leaving an impoverished inner city where all you've known your entire life is shooting galleries and violence on the streets, gunshots at night, bars on the window. That's a profound place to grow up. The church I attended for 2 years down in South Georgia was humbling. Small community, small country church, beautiful church, beautiful people, an amazing pastor, Travis Graham, who, as I've promised, he will be on the show coming up. He's younger than me, very gifted, and a beautiful soul. Here's was the profound realization of that community. When I came to this and I sat and I looked at the congregation, and it's very heart-wrenching when you think about this. There was not a person in that congregation that did not know somebody or did not have a family member that died from a drug overdose. Think about that. Not one person in that congregation was unaffected by drug overdose. In fact, one of the people, just a beautiful soul, who led adult Sunday school class for quite some time until her husband came down with Alzheimer's. She had to identify her daughter at another church across town who had come in to see a pastor, had accepted Christ and went around the back alley and died of an overdose. This is a small town. It's a beautiful town. But that church created something. It created a holy place for people to come and to find fellowship. It was a place that when people came, you could literally leave all that outside and you could be there. Patriots, that's what we have to create now. That's what we're creating in the real world. Not in a temple, not under a steeple. How we walk and how we are is truly what will shape this future. And it's all centered on our principle of being able to live love. It's a profound responsibility that's put on top of us. It's not something to shy away from, but to embrace boldly. God's brought us here for this reason. And when we truly embrace that, there's nothing that on that side can touch us, and there's everything that we are doing to build the new way forward. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by all that you give and continue to give and guide us. And we are humbled by a place that we sit now in this world where it's truly love in its truest sense of all things that we do that can save this world and guide the way forward. Let us have eyes to see, truly to see, through this deception and through the mazes of anger and hate, frustration, division. Let us instead see that true heart of Christ that sits within us, that lives within us, that humbles us each day, the reminder of how Christ walked each day in that strength of love, his foundation in faith, and a message of hope in all that he gave. Let us be that. And in so doing, guide us, Lord, in these walks ahead to bridge the spaces between us and the darkness, to guide those away from that pit, to shine light on the dark so that it can never be dark again. And in so doing, provide the light for those to find their way into this place that we're building, a place that's built on the words, "In God we trust." And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. It doesn't matter what you do, as long as everything that you do is centered on the pivot of love in the sense that Christ exhibited love in this world. Some days you may encounter 100 people. Some days you might encounter one. Some days you might not encounter any, but it's still the presence of how we walk. When we shape our messaging from everything that we do, from emails to words, to even how we are in our present and how we walk in our lives, when we exhibit and exude the love that God intends for us to carry, each one of us becomes an agent of change for the most profound ways. We all know that when we're around children, children watch very attentively, and they see things. They're very wise. We know this. Children see right through the craziest of things. They can tell when you're lying. They can tell when there's a charade. They can tell when there's truth. But people see that as well, not just children. There's adults out here that are watching the same. They may not articulate it the same. They may not be as attuned into their perceptions, but it's happening. It doesn't matter how we are in terms of interactions with them. Our presence is one of the most important things. And if we're walking constantly with love, we're moving the world. That is the one thing that comes out to me in reading the stories of Christ over and over, is that it's not what is said, it's what is unspoken. And it's the profound sense of all scripture around Christ that of so much is unspoken because he's in presence with love. That is our mission. Singly, there's probably nothing more important in the world. And that means letting go of a lot of things and putting an enormous amount of faith and trust in God to let him flow through us and to live truly in that body of Christ. So keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never give in, never bow to evil, and always press in. But we're pressing in with the most amazing weapon of war, if you will. And what is that? That's love. And not love all American style. Not love like the hippies of the 60s. We're not going to go out there with dandelions in our hair and do dances around with no clothes on, with a long armpit hair and not bathing for a week. That's not what we're talking about here, just so I get clear. That just is like yuck. We're talking profound, deep love and respect for all that God gives us. And a profoundly deep, compassionate love and respect for those around us. But being solid in that, and with that, it gives us strength like a warrior. And Christ is one of the greatest warriors one could ever imagine. God will never forsake us. He's there right with us, and he's there to encourage us and to help us along this path. Remember, as we've accepted Christ and we're living through the body of Christ, we're now, it's through Christ that we reach the Father. And he's there, arms wide, letting us explore the greatest width and breadth of all he is. Let love be that greatest thing that we explore. It's profound. And in the end, as we know, God wins. But there's got to be somewhere in there that we're kind of important to that fight, because he doesn't have to have us, but he chooses to have us here at this time. And that in itself should be profound, because he trusts in us as we must trust in him. Have a blessed night. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, we're running to it. We're on the edge, now we're diving in. Stay a while and you'll see that every broken dream fit together flawlessly, pave the road to better things. Letting go of the moments that could only keep us down. I can see it now. Can you see it now? We're on the edge of a moment, been out of our depth, now we're diving in. The light up ahead, sets down over the hill where the lost got found. Reaching through somehow, oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away.
sometimes when belonging becomes something to find. We always come back to what we know. Keep it close on the cold days, darling. Counting all the ways where you are a safe place to hide from the rain.